First, though, I want to take you to this story that's been, well, reported out of India overnight, but obviously we know a lot more about it since the original incident happened. Almost exactly 3 years ago, a 23-year-old Indian student was gang-raped on a Delhi bus. The youngest of the six men convicted for the crime has been released. Rallies have once again taken place in Delhi in protest. Laws dealing with sex crimes in India have been strengthened since the attacks, but many Indians still believe that not enough is being done to prevent violence against women. Pallavi Sinha is a lawyer and adjunct lecturer in the College of Law at the Australian National University. She's represented women who've experienced family violence. Good morning and welcome to RN Summer Breakfast.
Morning, Hamish. Nice to join you.
Thanks so much for coming on. Can you just talk us through why this particular one of the convicted rapists has been released?
Yes, basically he's classified as a juvenile. When he committed the crime, he was about 17 years old. So under the laws in India, he was only permitted to be jailed for a maximum of 3 years, and he's now 20, so therefore that's why he was released, as opposed to the others who were actually sentenced for life.
And so some of the protests that have been taking place have been people saying that actually because he was only a few months away from turning 18, he should have been treated as an adult anyway. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. There have been protests in Delhi in particular, including by the parents of the girl who was brutally gang raped. And it is certainly a question to seriously consider. If a juvenile has committed such a heinous crime, the law should really be addressing whether or not he should be given an appropriate sentence as the other four adults given.
I suppose the context around all of this is the sense in some quarters of the Indian population that rape, sexual abuse is not being dealt with properly by the government. And on the other hand, large proportions of society believing that the government has the settings well about right.
That's right. Look, there are different schools of thought about this. And indeed, India actually potentially has one of the lowest per capita rates of rape, according to some reports. On the other hand, the Times of India has said there's an average of 5 cases of rape reported every day, and there were 300 reported cases of rape in 2015. So, you know, whether or not it's been adequately addressed by the government, look, there were some improvements subsequent to the 2012 Delhi gang rape. The Indian government implemented a fast-track court system. There were some amendments to the law. However, I don't think the right message is being sent to society if a juvenile who's committed such a crime is being released after only 3 years. Particularly given the brutal nature of the gang rape, the metal rods being used and the severity of the injuries the young girl sustained, and which subsequently led to her death as well.
Can you talk us through what happened in the lead up to this? How did this girl find herself in that situation?
Well, yes, that's a really good question, because it also begs the other question about women being able to safely commute, whether it's in Australia or in India or across the world. Essentially, my understanding is that she'd seen a movie with a male friend and she boarded a bus with him, thinking that it was one of your normal buses to go home. Unfortunately for her, it wasn't actually a proper bus. It had the six gang rapists on board, and she was savagely raped in this bus, which had curtains in it, which was driving around Delhi, and then her and her male companion thrown out of the bus afterwards. And this severity and brutality of the crime, to me, is what really stands out and put the spotlight on the treatment of women in India globally, because you know, what is going on in this situation, that, you know, a young 17-year-old was involved in this gang rape, that juveniles are committing such crimes as well. It's really sad. And look, I'm all for rehabilitation and reintegration of a juvenile, which is part of the reason, the rationale behind him being released, and he has to be released according to the law. But rehabilitation can also take place in jails, and if a person's released after 3 years, there could be other people roaming around in India thinking, oh, well, if I gang rape someone, I'm only going to be in jail for 3 years if I'm under the age of 18.
There was a lot of pressure, both internationally and domestically, on India's government to make or create conditions in which women felt safer in public, particularly. Is that the case now? Are women safer in India than what they were before this happened?
Well, yeah, that's another good question, because that Times of India figure that I was quoting earlier is supposed to be 2015 figures, which actually suggests that it's increased since 2012. So, and if the trend continued at the current pace, it would more than double. So that's not suggesting that increased activism and policing efforts are helping, but certainly there has been at least an increased recognition of the problem, and that's a start. That's a root start to addressing any problem, making sure that attitudes and mindsets are being addressed. For example, in Australia, when Rosie Batty was made Australia of the Year, spotlight has really come, you know, on the whole issue of violence against women. But there are very, very severe and serious problematic attitudes and mindsets that still exist in India. The blame the victim mentality, the patriarchal attitudes that can lead to rapes, including politicians after the event saying, oh, well, she asked for it by being out late at night, including the India's Daughter documentary, which interviewed one of the lawyers and the rapists, and who effectively said that the woman had asked for it by resisting and being in a public place at 9 p.m. These are the sort of attitudes that more education, more media, and more campaigning by high-level leaders need to address.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. Pallavi Sinha, thanks very much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you inviting me to join you.
Pallavi Sinha is a lawyer and adjunct lecturer in the College of Law at the Australian National University.